Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Is it just you?
I think so. I only heard music, and I didn't hear any clicks.
Okay. We'll wait a few more minutes. I didn't promote it because I didn't want to have everybody coming after Mashiach.
I really don't think we need Mashiach.
Oh, well, that's what I was planning today.
Oh, it was. Well, see, I still have that 22-page commentary.
Right.
That we didn't have our lesson for. And
you sent that to me, I believe, right?
Yeah, it was part of the lesson plan. We just didn't get to it because we weren't planning to get to it. You know, it was too much. That was going to have to be all by itself.
Right.
Yes, I did. And King David, I wasn't, we were going to do that after, but I haven't put it together, and it wasn't going to be, you know, as, let me say, as lengthy. Because we wanted to get into studying the 10 songs of the Torah. And they each got an assignment, so it won't just be me doing the teaching. They'll each one have a song to...
Yeah, they should enjoy that.
Right.
I hope they use the Rabbi Sutton's introduction. He's got quite a bit of it there.
I'm trying to think. Well, I've been collecting materials for years on each one, you know, so I told them if they have trouble, you know, I can give them materials. But I don't know that I remember what you just said about Rabbi Sutton, so I'll have to look through his materials to see if I haven't. I have some of his books that I haven't even touched yet.
Actually, I'm not doing the Mashiach. I'm basically doing two chapters of Ezekiel, which is about God.
Oh, well, I'm glad, because I've kept my notes on Azamra, and I've been rereading it and rereading it, and these cloven sheets, you know. So that's good.
There's not a, I have that as the last thing we'll do, but there's not a lot there for the Mazama.
No.
Chapter 38, it was reasonable, but chapter 39, it, almost no commentary at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still on 1 and 2. And those cloven feet and the ox. Still pondering all that.
There's a lot there. So.
I know.
We might want to jump to Ezekiel after we finish Judges.
Okay.
But I think you'll find the Kings and Isaiah more informative, but it's intermixed in Isaiah. It's not a consistent pattern. Mm-hmm. In Ezekiel, it's much more direct.
Well, I was going to suggest the book that you named in the last chapter of the Sefer Yetzirah, if you wanted a suggestion.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Welcome.
Okay.
Hanok, I did want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
With the new year, if you haven't come on by 10 minutes, let's say we lengthen our wait time 3 more minutes, and then after that, we definitely
has joined.
Is that reasonable? Rather than sometimes... taking 20 minutes or whatever, you know, time is so these days.
This is, I wait 10 minutes for you. There's no reason for you to wait beyond 10 minutes. The only one thing I would suggest, and you never do because you think I need to sleep, but a lot of times I'm focused on something. I lose track of the time.
Yes.
So you might make a phone call, and if I don't answer, then it, you know the class is not happening.
Okay. Well, whenever you let me know, I always let them know. So.
If I'm going to go take a nap, then I'm letting you know. So.
Okay. All righty. That sounds good.
I believe a third person has arrived, so let us start with the L'shem Yehud. But while I'm doing that, the class is going to be found, the handout's going to be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6, the third column from the left. That landing pad page has all of the parashiyot listed, but it also has towards the bottom various subjects and holidays. And above the holidays, you'll find the various books of the Nach, of the Nevi'im and Ketuvim. But the classes I thought we would do today, because we've had a request for discussion of Mashiach, is Ezekiel chapters 38-39. I'm really taking it out of sequence with the book of the prophets, but there was a request for Mashiach, and I believe the person making the request is on the clock, this call, so we'll start there. Ushem Yehud Kuchabarihu Ishkinke Bidkilu Urshimu Utkilu Utkilu Urshimu Leakta Lashem Yud He Bavate Beyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maseya Deno Penene Alena Maseya Deno Penenehu. Chapter 38 of Ezekiel, verse 1. And I will mention that you'll find that the way we approach these verses can be very meaningful to the subject of what we're talking about. Because with the numbers, the gematria, the words and the letters, helps add the information to the simple level of the story. But it will take us probably 2 or 3, maybe even 4 weeks to complete these 2 chapters. Chapter 38, verse 1. Vayhi davar Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe da Wanu He Yo And the word of Hashem came unto me, saying, well, there's a whole pattern of discussions or information relating to the prophet Ezekiel, who is one of the later prophets. And we need to understand that Ezekiel is very close to the end of prophecy. In fact, he prophesied in the land of Israel, but he also was given information to prophesy outside of Israel. And Ezekiel was the first prophet to be able to receive prophecy outside of Israel. So, we don't know where he's receiving this information, unless it's done in chapter 37 or chapter 36. It gives us his location. And I didn't look to verify it. Verse 1 has 5 words. And the 5 words is connecting to the 5 worlds. Sufim. The Bart Sufim are Arichanpin, Abba, Ima, Zeranpin, and Malhut. And when you understand those terms, you understand the concept of the four phases and the process of formation, which is also the process of creation. And there are 18 letters. So this is telling you that the purpose of the prophet Ezekiel in this particular verse, in this particular chapter, the purpose of Ezekiel has to do with life, because 18 is the gematria for chai. Or we could, in English, be better off saying it's the Ezekiel is connecting to the energy of living. Verse 2. Ben Adam Sim Panecha El Gog Eret Hamagog Nesio Rosh Meshech Viteval Vehinave Alav. Son of man, set the face toward God of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, or prophesy against him. So let's start with the gematria of God, which is 13. 13 we know is a form of unification. It means ahad, oneness. Now, you would never think in terms of what the Western world teaches about God. You would think that it's related to a unification. But the indication is actually what I said in the previous time when we were talking specifically about Mashiach. God represents the unification of a number of nations, probably 36 of those nations, or maybe 35 for sure. And I want to take a quick look, which I haven't ever done. I believe there's a word in Hebrew spelled Gimel Gimel. So let's see if we can see if that comes up with anything. In modern Hebrew, the word Gimel Gimel spells the word roof. And the Vav at the end of the word would be his roof. Now, what is the essence of a roof? What is the purpose of a roof? And it's very significant to the process that I once described of the Mishkan that has no roof. Then when it's moved to Shiloh, the Mishkan develops a partial roof. It's not complete structure. And then the first temple has a more substantial roof. And the second temple has a completed roof. And the third temple will obviously have a more complete roof. And that's just a very quick discussion. understand what is the energy of a roof. Is it keeping out the elements? Or if you're talking about the spiritual level, what do you think it's actually doing? Now, the word Magog is 53, but this word in this verse is spelled Hamagog, meaning there's a hay in front of it, the land of Magog. And in that sense, it's 58. 58 is the level of comfort. Now, if you consider the Western world, but more specifically, the America, after the Second World War, the economics moved forward. There was some disturbance over racial issues. I could go on a little bit more, but I'll stop with that description. But essentially, for the last 80 years, ever since the land of Israel was put in place, the second, actually it's 70 years, 72, the modern state of Israel was declared. But in America, the energy has been that of comfort, which is the energy of Noah, which, by the way, is not this Shabbat, but a week from Shabbat. And the energy of Noah, which is comfort, Gematria 58, in the reverse order, it's Chachma Nestar, concealed wisdom. So you get a lot more information about what is Gog and what is Magog from this discussion. And Meshech is your name. If you rearrange the letters of Meshech, it's Shem with a kaf at the end, meaning your name. Are you getting some insights from these connections? I think you should. And Tuval is a very interesting word because the letter Taf at the beginning of a word is a form of transforming a noun into a verb. The letter Taf is an indication of changing it to an action word from the noun. But what is the letters Bet and Lamed in reverse order spell the name Heart, Lev. So Tubal represents the energy of an active heart. The previous two words to Meshech is Nesi Rosh. Nesi is the Nasi. The Nasi is the chieftain or the leader of a tribe or a nation. The Rosh is the head. With these connections that I'm describing to you, you have a lot more information about what is Gog and what is Magog, and what is Meshech and what is Tubal. There are 14 words in verse 2. The number 14 is the connection to King David. It's a connection to the name David. David. But David, all in with different vowels, is Dod, which represents your uncle. Dode is an uncle. What is the relationship of people to their uncles? 14 is also a connection to the manifestation. And I think that's very much part of what this verse is implying. This is a prophecy of the manifestation, the end of times. This term son of man, Ben Adam. We know Adam is the first man. The son is means every generation since there. Adam has a gematria of 45. This is a level or number connected to Zerunpin. And Ben is a gematria of 52, which is a connection to Malchut. Because the Hashem's name in those two gematria, when they're spelled out, they're talking about Zerunpin and Malchut. The gematria of Ben and Adam together is 97. But if you add a kolel, it becomes 98, and 98 is the word tzach, tzadichet. And tzadichet, tzach, means cleansing, cleaning, the cleansing energy. There are 98 curses in the Torah. So we're seeing a connection to this verse, or from this verse, to the end of times. We're seeing the connection to the energy of cleansing. We're seeing that the purpose of this Gog and Magog is to bring the cleansing to the land. As far as we know, it could be also to the other nations. It could be to the children of Israel as well, although I think we'll find that not to be the case. And 48 letters I'm not seeing any missing vavs in the spelling of these words, which is a significant statement. But the number 48, Mem Chet, with, can be voweled to spell Moach, which is the brains, representing the three upper Sephirot. The third verse. I think you're getting a sense of why it's going to take us a number of weeks to go through this particular chapter or these two chapters. We amarta go amar Adonai Elohim Yo he wahe adanu yo yo ahida wanu he yo inani elecha gognesi yo rosh meshech with tu al say. Remember, verse 2 is saying to prophesize against Meshech and Tubal. And now we're being told what to say. And say, thus says Hashem Elohim. Thus says Adonai Hashem. Thus says Lord or Mr. Hashem. All of those translations apply. We are taught that when you see Hashem, and then the next word is Hashem, you're to pronounce it Adonai Elohim, which is a connection to elevating Malchut to Bina. But in this case, it's just the word Adonai, and then Hashem, you're showing a unity between the two levels, the spiritual and the physical. Thus says Lord Hashem, behold, I am against thee, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tuval. Now, why are the two nations connected to each other? Because if we discuss what we did in the previous verse, Meshech means his name, and Tuval is the active heart. Why are the two nations together? Because his name has to do with the active heart. What is the nature of the emotions of the 70 nations? They all are angry with the children of Israel for not doing our work. And that's essentially part of the message, isn't it? Twelve words connecting to the 12 tribes of Israel. And 43 letters is Mem Gimel, or in reverse order, it's Gimel Mem, representing Gam, the Hebrew word for also. Also is an additional. But remember, the Torah says there's nothing to add. There's no letter or word to add. Everything is there. So what does also really imply? A negative action, a negative effect. Because also is an addition. And whenever you add to the Torah, you detract. Verse 4. Shovavti ha winatati Ahim bilcha yecha Votseti otcha Wiet koche lecha Susim ufarashim Levushe Michlol kulam kahal ratina Umagin dose aravot kulam. And I will turn thee about and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed most gorgeously, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords. Now, what is this saying on a physical level? It says, I'm going to cause you to come forth from where you are. I'm going to cause you to bring a whole army with looking beautiful, looking like you can't lose, horses and horsemen, clothed gorgeously, a great company with buckler and shield. What is the meaning of a buckler and a shield? Shield, we understand. It's the word magen. It's the third word from the fourth word from the end of the verse. Third word from the. It's the third word from the end of the third line if you're utilizing the Mahon Mamre website. Twenty-one words connects to the name of God associated with Bina. The name is Echie, Aleph Hey Yud Hey.
Has joined.
There are 90 letters. We had a kollel, it's 91, indicating a unity between Zeranpin and Malchut. So we know that
has joined.
Spoken of as a connection to Bina, and that through the letters we have a connection to Zeranpin and Malchut in the unification of the spiritual with the physical. You can look at the word chachayim or chachim, which is the third word in the verse. And that word, the word chach, the two chets together, is spelling a word. Well, let me make sure that I know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to get Chet translated. That's what I thought it was. Chet means a hook. And you can look at the translation and you see it's clearly the hook, because it says, and I will put hooks into your jaws. But it's not hooks. Yes, it's hooks in the sense that it's plural, but it translates as a sea of hook, or a hook sea. So is it the shape of the sea? What does it mean that he will put hooks into thy jaws? And then it goes on to say, I'm going to cause you to come forth, meaning you're going to have no choice. Your army is going to come forth to attack because I'm pulling you with the hooks in your jaws. You know what Samson killed the Philistines with? What did Samson kill the lion with? He killed him with a hook, with a jawbone. So you see that connection as well. The fifth pasuk. Paraskus ufut itam kulam magen lekova. Persia, Kush, and put with them, all of them, with shield and helmet. Now, Paras is Persia. That's the first word in verse 5. Par means a bull, an ox. It means we sacrifice these bulls, the cows, essentially, and the female are the bulls and the male. Let me take a look at what permutating a little bit with paras. Paras means a prize or a reward or a trophy or a premium. The last two letters, Resh and Samach, can be translated as supporting the head. And the first letter, the Pei, represents the mouth. So you can translate Paras as the mouth supports the head. The three letters, the Resh represents the head, as we understand and I've said, but the other two letters, the Pei and the Samach, in that order, spell the word stripe. So Paras can be have the meaning of a head stripe. Now, Paras has a gematria of 340. 340 is 34 times 10. 34 is a word, Dal, Dalid Lamed. And Dal means lack. Paras is a country that is constantly in lack. Kush is spelled Kaf Vav Shin. But Kaf Vav means Hashem's name, 26. But the Shin represents passion. So Kush represents the passion of Hashem. Now, Put, spelled Pei Vav Tet, has a gematria 95. And 95 is a very interesting number because it means HaMelech, the king, but it also means Haman, Mana. It also means Haman. So you can see these three nations that are being described are part of this conglomeration of nations called Gog. And they are the ones with a shield and a helmet. And what is the meaning of the shields? Is a protection. But what is the purpose of a helmet? It's protecting the intellect. There are seven words in verse 5, and the number 7 connects to the 7 days a week, the 7 days of creation, the seven lower sephirot, and many other meanings, but it also connects to Shabbat, the manifestation of the energy of time. The last word in the verse, helmet, is connecting to Kaf Vav, which is Hashem's gematria of 26, and Ayin Bet, the 72 names of God. So we see the word helmet is a connection to Hashem and his structure of 72 attributes. I think we're going to stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts?
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Margaret.
The time frame we're talking about is before the flood, correct?
No.
Okay. Could you place that time frame for me?
Ezekiel is the after the destruction of the first temple is prophesying for the future.
Okay.
That's not to say that your question about the flood, which would be before this time period, it can apply to that as well. Remember, every verse in the Tanakh is relating to every generation. And in addition to the generation as a whole, it relates to each person who ever lived in that generation or in any generation. So it's very possible that it could also apply to the before the flood. But nominally speaking, the prophecy is always, we think of it in terms of future, not past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is Gog and Magog. That's two different nations, correct?
And not who necessarily. Were not necessarily.
The name. I know you said the name.
And so, Magog is from the nation of God. The mem at the beginning of a word means from. Like I'm from Los Angeles and you're from mm-hmm. Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Magog, as we discussed in the second verse when I did the names, the gematria of Magog is 52. And 52 is a gematria associated with Malchut. So it could mm-hmm. very well, and the literal translation, the literal translation of the second verse is Magog is the land of Magog. It's not another nation. It's
okay.
Land.
So who's at this time frame, who's in the land of Magog? Magog.
Yes. Okay.
Which tribe or which what peoples are we dealing with in that land in this time frame?
The first temple was destroyed by Persia. Excuse me, Babylonia. But there's, right afterwards, there's a very close connection between Babylonia and Persia. Persia is today Iran, and Babylonia is today Iraq.
Okay.
And the temple was destroyed, meaning that the land of Israel was conquered by those two nations, one after the other, one together with the other. I believe Babylonia conquered Israel, Bas v'Shalom, mm-hmm. and Persia conquered Babylonia.
Right. Okay, so the three entities we discussed was Cush, Put, and I'll pick the other one.
Paras. The three lands or the three nations are Persia, Cush, and Put. Persia we just discussed is Iran today.
Right.
Cush is described generally as Africa. So it's, but it could also be just the northern part of Africa. And Put, I have no background in yet to be able to tell you where it is, but I'm sure you can look it up on the internet.
Okay.
Wikipedia will normally give you that information somehow. You may take a lot of reading first. And you always have to remember when you're reading on the internet, doesn't mean that they don't have an agenda when they're describing it to you. And it doesn't mean they're knowledgeable, that they're telling you truth.
Right.
So be very careful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Would anybody else have a comment or a question or a thought? You all have a beautiful afternoon. We have two more classes. One at 4:30. We'll continue our Deep Zohar class. We're studying the Parasha of Pikudei from the Zohar. And now we'll have a Zohar class at 7 p.m. These are West Coast times. Shalom.
Thank you.
Great class.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Anna, I have a quick question for you. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Was there information?
It's tongue-in-cheek. I'm looking for information because I haven't read your handout for the 22 pages. So I'm assuming that there's information I gave you in this class that's not in the handout.
Right. Well, my 22. Am I unmuted? I don't know.
Yes, you are.
Okay. The 22-page handout is really a combination of three from Rabbi Zadok, but from the atmosphere of quite a few years ago, which is essays today don't quite have the same delivery, but I felt the information was there. And I did let Martha read them, and I asked her whether she thought I could just give them the handout, or did we really need to have the class? And she felt like we did. One thing that, as far as today's lesson, when you permutated GOM, then you had to change the MEM in the beginning position, initial position, to a final MEM, which made it that square.
Yes.
So feet, that certainly does connect to our times. And then also, there it was again with Chachim, when you talked about the two chet side by side. I know it made it plural, but it also, every time we see those final letters now, especially after beating with the willows, we're going to be paying attention to them, I think. And then I think when I was studying the chariot, which is probably Azamra's notes, but I'm not positive, but I think so, because it wasn't that long ago, that he seemed to think that Ezekiel might have very well been the son of Jeremiah, because they call him the son of Buzz, I believe, and that word had to do with a negative meaning, and which was being pointed out that Jeremiah was not very well liked because the people didn't like that he was prophesying the destruction of the temple. And so I felt like that was an important comment. You know,
I read it. Thank you for it.
Yeah.
No, but that's in the earlier chapters, so that's why I'm not, you know, we're taking this out of context in the sense that, you know, you need to start at any one of the prophets, you need to start at the first chapter and take it to the end of their chapters. But you really need to even understand the prophets in sequence, the way the Torah presents them. That's why I've been taking it, you know, book by book, starting with Joshua, and now we're in Judges. Because you need to understand that progression.
Well, the reason I brought it up was because of Malka's question about the time. You know, was it at the time of the flood? And this kind of knowing that little information about Ezekiel possibly linked to Jeremiah as his father. That really...
That is very helpful.
Yeah, it's a context. Thank you.
You also have to understand that Jeremiah, the people didn't like what he had to say, but he was sent by God to change their ways if they would listen to him. And so his whole life was spent trying to get the people to do tshuva so that the temple didn't have to be destroyed. So as a son of, and I had heard that all before, that there are people who conjecture that Ezekiel was a son of Jeremiah. But assuming he is a son of Jeremiah, which would explain why it's starting out with the terms Ben Adam, the son of man, that connection is representing that it's a lower level of prophecy. Because each prophet has a level of prophecy, and they're not all on the same level. And we need to understand that, and that's why it says Ben Adam, and I should have said that, should have mentioned that. But thank you for reminding me and inputting that. But these are very significant comments that you made, both of you, the questions and the comments.
Well, I don't think maybe we associated son as also having to do with later generations. I was glad you pointed that out today, too. You know, son of man, not just meaning that generation, but other generations past.
Correct. There's a lot of things.
I understand what a buckler is, though. I don't know if this is.
A buckler is like the belt that holds the sword.
Oh, okay.
But there's probably other meanings to it as well, so that needs to be researched.
Okay, I'll write that note. Look up buckler.
Everyone have a beautiful afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Shalom.